The beginning of the preaching of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John came on the scene, the one baptizing in the wilderness when proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the Judean area and all the Jerusalemites proceeded to go out to him and to be baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he was eating grasshoppers and wild honey. And he would proclaim, saying, "The one stronger than I is coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not fit to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. And immediately, as he was going up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting and the Spirit as a dove descending into him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. Just why was our Lord baptized? On the most basic level, it was to fulfill the calling of any true Israelite to undergo the baptism of John the Baptizer. That baptism that was a literal coming to expression, a literal fulfillment, as it were, of the great final promise of God made in metaphor in Ezekiel 36. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be cleansed from all your iniquities." What then did this baptism by John mean for Jesus? Again, on the most basic level, since John's baptism was for the forgiveness of sins, our Lord was identifying with sinful Israel, with her sinful condition. He was, in a phrase, taking upon himself the sin of the people of God. But something else happened at the baptism. Jesus received the Spirit. And why did this happen? Listen to Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 61, words about the servant of Yahweh. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Here our Lord is anointed for the task of the servant of Yahweh, which he begins just a few verses later than our text, verses 14 and 15. After John had been handed over, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The due time stands fulfilled. The reign and rule of God has drawn near and is now here." But that servant that we have been discussing is not only an individual figure in Isaiah. The servant of Yahweh is also a corporate figure, one who represents in himself the people of God. Therefore, in his reception of the Spirit, Jesus takes on the full role of Isaiah's servant, including the role of the people of God themselves. This is confirmed by the voice from the heavens. "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." While Son indicates Jesus' divine status, to be sure, Israel in the Old Testament was also called God's son, as in Exodus chapter 4. Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Let my son go that he may serve me. Which means that now the second half of God's promise through Ezekiel is fulfilled. I will put my spirit within you. Remember, the Spirit descends into Jesus in Mark's account. Yes, Jesus, in receiving the Holy Spirit at his baptism, takes on the role of the people of God. The people of God are compressed into him, as it were. Or as Paul argues in Galatians chapter 3, Jesus is the seed, singular, the seed of Abraham. But there is more. The prophet Joel says, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. In his reception of the Spirit at Jesus' baptism, he also assumes the role of humanity itself. He is not only Israel, he is all flesh. Now Israel is no longer an aggregate of the Jewish people. Now humanity is no longer an aggregate of human beings. Now both Israel and humanity are compressed into Jesus, our Lord and Savior himself. But notice, the two outpourings that I have been talking about are outpourings at the end of days in the prophets, at God's final eschatological visitation. Therefore, what God said would happen at the end of days to his people and to all flesh is going to happen, is bound to happen, is destined to happen to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He will receive God's end time judgment upon himself, and he will receive God's end time mercy and grace into himself. What Isaiah says would happen in the case of the people of God and all flesh in judgment, listen to Isaiah chapter 24. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Then the moon will be confounded and the sun ashamed. This is now bound to happen to our Lord. And what Isaiah says would happen as a result of God's mercy at the end of days, your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise, O dwellers in the dust, awake and sing for joy. That is now bound to our Lord. And it did happen to him as God's people and as all flesh in his cross and resurrection. So now what about our baptism, yours and mine? Our baptism is the reverse, as it were, of Jesus' baptism. Our baptism identifies us with Jesus, just as Jesus identified himself with us. To put it another way, just as Jesus identified with his people in their sinfulness in his baptism, so we identify with Jesus and all that he has come to bring for the benefit of all people in our baptism. In the words of St. Paul, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. As Paul argues in Romans 6, those who are baptized into Jesus' death, verse 3, and those who have been united with him in his death will be united with him in his resurrection, verse 5. This is God's ultimate and final gift. But for our daily lives, there's more, and that's also suggested in the verses of St. Mark for today. Two things more. First, Just as Jesus received the Spirit in his baptism, so we, by being baptized into him, receive the Holy Spirit. Yes, baptism confers the Spirit, but it does so because we are one with him who received and now dispenses that Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one of the chief gifts of the new covenant as described throughout the prophets. Indeed, the Holy Spirit enables us to live as the people of God in this dark age. This is the backstory of the opening words of stanza 4 of yesterday's entrance hymn, which said, "We walk with the strength of the Lord." The Spirit is that strength. Second, just as Jesus was declared to be Son of God, so we receive baptism, or we receive sonship over against God by being baptized into him and therefore united with him. This is perhaps the indicator that Jesus' baptism is to be related to Christian baptism. The fact that in the New Testament, a description of Christians standing before God so often uses the motifs of sonship and adoption. Our sonship, and son is used because in the ancient Near East, the son was the one to receive the blessings of the father. Our sonship is received through union in baptism through Jesus Christ, who is himself the Son of God. These ideas appear together in Romans 8, where we find the intertwining of the themes of being in Christ, the possession of the Spirit, and sonship. Listen to these words. "Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the rule of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed you from the rule of sin and death. And you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead on account of sin, but the Spirit is life on account of righteousness. But if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will make alive also your mortal bodies through his indwelling Spirit. For as many as are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not get the spirit of servitude once again for fear, but the Spirit of adoption in which we cry, Abba, Father." How fantastic is that? We receive the Spirit who frees us from the rule of sin and death. And we receive sonship so that we are no longer slaves of the flesh, but alive to God. This is what being in the new covenant in Christ is all about. So rejoice this happy day, you who have been baptized into Christ. You have the Holy Spirit to guide you in your life, and you have the adoption as sons with a dear Father who will hear your heartfelt prayers. And all of this because of the baptism of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What an epiphany grace this is that we remember today. In Jesus' name, amen.